Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
I feel like the world's just fucking with me now at this point. So last week, we talked about how I missed my chance to be on KNC. And, you know, I've only wanted to kill myself ever since, but that's fine, whatever. Now, I see, we talked a couple weeks ago, I told my pal Smitty from Barstool. I don't know if you remember this, Dan. My producer and Seeing Eye man, Dan Watkins, with me as always.
Hello, hello.
I don't know if you remember me mentioning this to Smitty, but I threw my hat in the ring for Rough and Rowdy.
Yes, you did.
I said, I'm ready to go. I'll take on any challengers, as long as it's, you know, somewhat fair.
Right.
Now they're including my hero, Bill Burr. Not only that, they stole my idea. A couple weeks ago on this program, I said the plan, what the plan should be for the future of play-by-play and color commentary should be having just funny guys. You have an option where you can get the Dave O'Brien, Dennis Eckersley broadcast where it's straight facts. And then you have the version where it's guys shooting the shit, funny guys like Bill Burr is one of the names I threw out there. Barstool Sports, obviously. Dave Portnoy, big fan of this program, listens every week.
He must.
Obviously. I'm inside his brain. And he said, you know, Mike, you're onto something. He got Bill Burr to do the next Rough and Rowdy event.
Really?
Oh my God, I'm devastated.
Wait, so he's commentating it?
Bill Burr is on, yeah, I think it's like, the last one was like Portnoy, Big Cat, and Pat McAfee. Yep. And I think Bill Burr is just on that panel now. So,
they're so messing with you.
Yes, 100%. It's just to get me to kill myself. It's got to be. They're like, oh, this will just another knife in the back of old Mike.
I actually have to bring
his hero to Rough and Rowdy while he can't be there.
I actually have to. I have to confess. Portnoy and I have a backstage deal to get me this podcast.
Yeah.
So
just to drive me into insanity.
Yes.
One step closer to madness every week.
Yep.
All right. Anyway, and another, speaking of things that are driving me insane. But, well, first of all, let me say congratulations to Barstool, because that's a very smart move, getting guys like that, because I think that's what they should do. And I think that's the future of sports broadcasting, is having funny guys like that. So all kidding aside, good work by Barstool. And any more of my ideas you need, you know where to find me. You have my email. You don't have my phone number. We weren't that tight, Portnoy. But you have my email. Anyways, speaking of things that annoy me, I'm not going to be able to stand a summer of this, the sky is falling in Patriot land talk, because there's just nothing else. The Red Sox are going to have to be, and I don't think they will be, but they're going to have to be relevant this year, because I just can't take it. It's already, you hear it on Felger and Maz. Of course, we can't play any of their audio, God forbid. But you hear it on Felger and Maz, and you hear it from the national guys. The fucking, look up in the sky, because it's all coming down. 17 years of knowing what he's doing, and all of a sudden, Bill Belichick has lost his mind. He's a madman now. Every year we do this, where it's like, oh, this guy's an idiot. This guy's trading high draft picks. This guy, no clue. He's not signing big-name free agents. What an utter fool. And then we go to another Super Bowl or an AFC Championship game. So Colin Cowherd started off the mania this week with a comparison to Bobby Knight, I guess, because that's the same. Same level, right?
Yeah, I mean, I you see Belichick throwing chairs and helmets onto the field all the time.
Yeah, and Bobby Knight, you always say, you know, the Bill Belichick of basketball. When you think Bobby Knight, you think a guy that never really won anything that significant.
I think he's got a national title, but
yeah, big whoop. Yeah. It's not five Super Bowls.
One.
all right, let's play what Colin Cowherd said about this.
This is what punctured Bobby Knight's career. Bobby Knight, like Belichick, is smart. He's a legend. Oh, he's a creator.
Yeah, exactly,
he is revered.
Okay.
But in the end, Bobby was just too cranky. Bobby never relented. Bobby could never pivot. And I do think there is something here with Belichick. I see this all the time. If you don't pivot as you age, young people are empowered. I mean, you know, athletes now have political feelings. They make a lot more money. If you are not willing to grow with your sport and with the business and with the athletes and with the culture, you can be seen as outdated. And I think Belichick He still runs the system. He's still great. He's got to pivot a little bit. I've just seen so many great coaches go from great to has-beens because they wouldn't evolve. And I think Belichick's in a danger spot. Now, he may only have 1 year left anyway.
Quite the kicker at the end.
You know, well, I mean, we all know he's got 1 year left. Now, first of all, who are these has-beens that he's referring to? These guys was, you know.
Coughlin, maybe?
No.
No.
I don't think Coughlin was ever he didn't really stick around long enough. He won the Super Bowl in 2011.
Right.
He wasn't there that long after that.
I mean, 5 years. 4 or 5 years. Yeah. He kind of got ran out.
But that's the weird thing is about the Giants is they were always
they were trying to fire him when they were winning.
Right, exactly. They were always like okay, and then they just lucked into two Super Bowls, really. But I can't think. The real greats on Belichick's level, Lombardi and Chuck Knoll and these guys.
Bill Walsh, yeah. They all retired quicker.
I don't think any of them were like, oh, here he is again. Parcells, maybe, I guess. But you wouldn't even really call him a has-been. He brought the Cowboys back to the playoffs.
Yeah, and anytime you're involved with the Jets, I feel like that's just a different
category. It's not your fault. Yeah,
it's a different category.
It's not your fault. Like Robin Williams in Good Will Hunting. So I don't get that. And I love Cowherd when he gets into these.
Bobby.
He thinks he has these brilliant analogies where he's like, and you know, where he gets off, and I don't even know if he knows what he's saying anymore.
Alabama is Walmart.
Where he goes, you know, now. There's players with political feelings. It's like, what does that mean? Players didn't have thoughts in their head 15 years ago when Belichick was winning Super Bowls? What the hell does that mean, Colin? But it's just this idea that the guy does it for 17 years. He missed the playoffs twice, both times on the last day of the season. The 9-7 year with Brady and the Matt Castle year. They were eliminated on the playoffs on the last day.
Yeah.
Every other year, you're in the playoffs and you're usually making a deep run in the playoffs. And has been. I love the term has been. He just lost the Super Bowl.
Five weeks ago.
On a turnover, yeah. Mind you. Like, not they got blown out like the Patriots in 85. They lost barely by the skin of their teeth, having not played Malcolm Butler. So I don't think it's a has been issue. I don't think we're like, oh, boy, this Belichick hasn't made a right decision in 15 years. It's a weird argument. And I think the problem is, and, you know, as we're finding out on this program, this time of year, there's not a lot to talk about. For whatever reason, February, March, before the baseball season starts, after football,
before the playoffs,
hockey and basketball aren't in playoffs yet. It's a weird time of year where there's not a lot going on.
We don't like college basketball.
Who gives a shit? No, I was eliminated from March Madness on day one. I had Arizona in my Final Four.
Attaboy.
So I stopped giving a shit pretty early on.
Very good.
Yeah. So there's nothing to talk about, and I think that's the symptom you see with some of the guys across the street, the negative Nancys, and the national guys, where it's like, well, the sky is falling in New England because Belichick made some odd moves. You know what the other years he's made odd moves? Every year since I've been alive and can remember him making decisions. Every single year I can remember being a Patriots fan, Bill Belichick has been making bizarre moves that you can't quite explain until November when the Patriots start to finally put everything together. And you're like, okay, now I see what he was doing. Now I see why he got rid of Malcolm Butler and all these guys. Danny Amendola, why they're not here anymore. I get it now. Now, I'll grant you, it seems like they've lost a lot more than usual. But, come on, trust the guy for 5 seconds. And then the Patriot hate continued. Because, you know, when it's a slow week, why not throw shit against the wall and see if it sticks? What's this guy's name? Peter Keating from ESPN The Magazine.
Oh, yeah.
ESPN The Magazine, which is, you know, so relevant. I got to say, first of all, just on the ESPN The Magazine, or really any magazine. But ESPN The Magazine, if you told me, if my brother went missing, I have one brother, a few years younger than me, and if he just went missing randomly one day, and they were like, Mike, we have his location, but it's in ESPN The Magazine, and you've got to subscribe for 1 year, I'd say, oh, we'll find him eventually. It's fine. I don't need this cluttering my trash for a year.
It's a very
odd year's worth of ESPN The Magazine.
You know, I never got that magazine because it was a very odd size, too. It was not. It was not shaped like a normal magazine.
No, it didn't.
It was like
fit,
a newspaper.
Yeah, it didn't fit in the slots.
It was like opening
properly.
It was like opening up the Herald as a magazine.
Yeah, right. It was very weird. And then I remember.
And then they put pictures of Prince Fielder naked on the front. And I just don't.
Well,
I don't.
Now that might get my $6 a month or whatever it is. Well, that's the other thing too. Is like, what does a magazine cost? Where it's like, if all the wonders that Netflix brings is $10 a month, and you put out one magazine every month, it's like that. Charging any amount doesn't feel right.
For just two low payments of $15.99.
Yeah, exactly. Those commercials. Yeah. I'm sad those don't run anymore. But ESPN, the magazine, completely irrelevant. And then you remember they hired, what was that guy's name from Sports Illustrated? Rick Riley.
Yep.
And they're like, this is the guy. Hey, boys and girls, yep. Come on back. Single file, please. For the lining up of the subscriptions. Rick Riley is coming to ESPN the magazine.
And he's going
to
tell you why Tiger Woods is a scumbag.
Watch out. Hot take, please. That went up like a house of cards. As a lot of things do at ESPN. We'll get to that in a minute. A lot of things that ESPN tries don't really work. But anyways, ESPN the magazine, an attempt to feel relevant. They got on this, Brady and Belichick really aren't that great train.
They put out
a list of in their history. ESPN the magazine, I guess, has been around for 20 years.
Who knew?
Flew by.
Yeah.
You know, when you're having fun, that time just woo-hoo-hoo. Seems like just yesterday. They put out a list of the most 20... I can't speak. The 20 most dominant athletes since 1998. Top of the list makes a lot of sense. Probably the most dominant athlete to his sport of anyone ever. Tiger Woods. The run that Tiger Woods had.
Yeah, don't really.
You got to say. You got to tip your cap.
And he's coming back.
You got to tip your fucking cap.
He's coming back.
The run that he had, obviously, the most dominant, probably more dominant than Jordan winning six championships in 8 years, but 6 years of him playing.
Right.
There were literally bets, Tiger versus the field.
Yeah, no,
you can take anyone else.
You can actually do that again now for the Masters.
Oh, how romantic.
It's coming back.
I love it.
He's the favorite. 8-1.
I want to see Tiger win again. And not to get off on a tangent here, but I was seeing the articles on Awful Announcing and the things that I check for this program. And is golf too reliant on Tiger Woods?
Yes.
For rain? Yeah, obviously. Obviously, when one guy can triple or quadruple your ratings, yeah, you're too reliant on him. But what are they going to do about that?
Yeah, did you see that thing about the bartender that he made triple his normal Sunday income?
Augusta?
No, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, just in general.
2 weeks ago when Tiger finished second place.
Yeah.
He made three times his normal Sunday income, and I believe that's including NFL Sundays, like for the entire year.
I'm surprised it's
just
not,
because of Tiger.
I'm surprised it's not more, honestly. Because it's like, well, people are giving a shit.
Yeah.
Because Tiger, there's a weird thing where even when, Rory McIlroy or any of these guys are dominating, it's just not the same for whatever reason.
Right.
Tiger's just different. So, number one, I get it. Now, do you have the list up, Dan?
I do.
Who? Let's go down the list a little bit.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah. Number two,
LeBron.
Okay. Because Michael Jordan was out of the game essentially by '98. He was making his move to the Wizards shortly thereafter. So yeah, if you're gonna put the number one basketball player on there, I guess would have to be LeBron probably. So I'll allow it. Number three is where I think it starts to get sticky, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, we could go with that. Sure. number three, none other than Peyton Manning.
Now, that seems bizarre to me for many reasons. Obviously that's a shot at the great one, Tom Brady. Because you're saying, okay, Peyton Manning was the most dominant quarterback in his sport, or the most dominant player in his sport the last 20 years. Okay, well, if you want to look at postseason stats, that's obviously not true.
14 one-and-dones.
And obviously the five Super Bowls for Brady.
Yep.
So that's a silly argument. Well, don't even get into that because that's just nonsense.
Five is better than two. I mean,
so if you want to say this is strictly a regular season thing, even that is flimsy because Peyton Manning broke the touchdown record, but then Brady broke that.
And then Peyton retook it.
Peyton holds it again. But it's like the idea of dominance is that you're doing something no one else is doing when we live in a time where people are getting closer and closer to that record. Brady broke it. Peyton broke it again. Aaron Rodgers was very close 1 year. So we live in a quarterback-driven era.
Yeah.
So it's not even like Peyton's doing things. It's not like Babe Ruth where he's hitting 40, 50, 60 home runs and other guys are hitting 12.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys putting up the type of number. I mean, I don't want to get too crazy and say Peyton was garbage. He is top two or three, if not number one, best regular season quarterbacks ever. So I understand that.
Right, but even those crazy regular season numbers that he has, Brady's on pace to break.
That's what I'm saying. Brady's in the same era. I can't fucking talk today. What's the matter with me? This Bill Burr thing got me all emotional.
I know. Put your clothes on.
I'm sorry. Brady's in the same league. And Aaron Rodgers is too. So, and Drew Brees. I'll keep thinking of guys as I keep going. So this idea that Peyton is far and away, well, you know what? Brady must be four in that case. If we're making this argument that they're that close, Brady's obviously number four, right?
Well, Mike, did you take into account NASCAR?
You know, I wasn't thinking.
Right. Well, Jimmy Johnson.
Silly me. Jimmy Johnson, of course. How, you know,
the worldwide leader includes all sports.
I'm an idiot. Of course, I forgot. You can see I'm wearing my Jeff Gordon jacket. I'm a big NASCAR guy.
Yeah.
But I was just so, I get hot and bothered when it comes to Tom Brady. So Brady's obviously fifth because, you know, I get NASCAR, I get a lot of people watch that. Not my particular cup of tea, but a lot of people watch it. So, all right, fine. Maybe I don't know enough about it. So, five is obviously Tom Brady.
No. How about Roger Federer?
Okay. Well, all right. I guess if we're getting into tennis, that's fine. I guess if you want to have a list where it's we're all inclusive, we're going to include all the sports. That's fine. How far down this list is Tom Brady? He's six, seven?
Nope.
Eight?
Nope.
He's top 10, certainly.
No.
Is he top 15?
Nope.
Where is he?
Number 20.
Oh, my God. An abomination.
Yep, he finished just 0.2 points on the dominance ranking behind Manny Pacquiao.
Can I Manny Pacquiao?
Yeah,
Manny Pacquiao. The worst $100 I ever spent.
Yep. Yeah,
was
seriously.
Watching Manny Pacquiao lose a match where he ran in circles around another
man. I mean, Mikey broke his wrist 3 days before the fight.
Oh my God, that was the worst money I've ever spent.
How about here?
I take it back. It wasn't the worst $100 I ever spent because we got a. It was when I was in college, so we got a keg and split it however many ways.
Right. Yeah. The derby.
It was the worst $10 I ever spent, and I still want my money back.
Yeah.
I'm still fighting Floyd Mayweather to get that $10 back.
Let me. I'll read you off a couple more notable names ahead of Tom on this list. How about Mike Trout? Very good baseball player, best player in baseball.
Sure.
But he's only been around for 5 years.
Well, that. And
never been to the playoffs.
Has he ever been to the playoffs? I was going to say, I can't remember Mike Trout being in the playoffs.
No, he hasn't.
I didn't think so.
No, he's finished in the top two of the MVP voting in each of his first five seasons.
And he's on an abysmal team. Not just like missing the playoffs by the skin of his teeth. Angels finished last in that division pretty consistently now.
Yeah, they're not very good.
Okay, keep going.
How about Usain Bolt?
That's, you know what? That's, again, like Federer and Jimmy Johnson, I'll say, I don't know enough about that sport. The guy's won a ton of gold medals. He's competing against the world. You know, Brady's competing against only America, really.
Yep. How about
Usain Bolt's against the world? I'll allow that.
How about Michael Schumacher from Formula One Racing?
Well, you know, Michael Schumacher's a guy that I don't believe he exists. Because I always heard when Tiger Woods was the first billion-dollar athlete, I always heard he surpassed Michael Schumacher in earnings this year. And I was like, oh, that's not a real guy. They're saying that. I don't believe he exists. But I guess, you know, ESPN acknowledges him.
How about Lauren Jackson of the WNBA?
Now, you made that up. Well, I know Michael Schumacher's a name I've heard before. Yep. You're making that name.
Lauren Jackson, number 13. 8.3 dominating.
Oh, Jesus Christ. at least like Lisa Leslie and Diana Taurasi, I knew their names.
How hard was that digging those names up?
I know.
Okay, I believe.
I get my my WNBA fantasy pass every year.
Do you?
And I watch every game.
Yep.
When do they play? The summer? Is that when the games are? I watch it all the time.
What team do you root for?
You know the there's one in Connecticut, right?
Maybe.
Yeah,
Connecticut Sun.
The London Silly Nannies. The Connecticut Sun. I root for them.
Yeah.
Big hardcore fan.
Yep.
So.
You know, there's another name that's not on this list that I think you can make another serious gripe for.
Michael Phelps?
Yep.
Yeah.
Not
well, I was going to say, when you brought up Usain Bolt, I was going to say, sure, Usain Bolt, but Michael Phelps has to be ahead of him, right?
No.
But he's not.
Nope.
So this was a list of, look at all the women and obscure people I can name. That's really what it broke down to. It was like, look how inclusive I am to everybody. And they claim to have this scientific ranking. Let me tell you something. Here's as scientific as you need to get. If you play the most valuable position in the biggest sport in North America and win the most Super Bowls by far, not only in the last 20 years, but in the history of the game, you are up there I'll say. I won't put you ahead of Tiger or LeBron necessarily, but you're up there. You're in the top five of most dominant athletes, for at least for people who read ESPN the magazine, for Christ's sake. It's mostly football fans, I'm assuming. It's not, you know, your tennis fans and your NASCAR. Well, maybe your NASCAR fans. They're nuts.
Well, now there are. I mean, with Jimmy Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
In the top four.
They use it as a rag of sorts.
I mean, if you break this down into a Mount Rushmore, Jimmy Johnson's on the Mount Rushmore.
He's got to be.
He is. He's number four.
That's oh, yeah, right, right.
He's the fourth base.
Yeah, he's the fourth best. Because when I think, you know, I always think of Jimmy Johnson when I think, you know, who are the best at? Who are my idols growing up? Jimmy Johnson's always up there. So this is literally... And he is so common of ESPN.
Yep. And this wasn't even the biggest news from ESPN this week.
No, it wasn't. Oh. They're launching what I think is going to be just an elite program. Kirk and Callahan, watch out. Because your ratings from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. will be fine. But I think a lot of people are going to switch over from radio to TV from 7 a.m. on. Get up, folks. Get ready.
I didn't even know what this was. I got like a notification on my Facebook, you know, on the app.
Yeah.
There's that little like thing for live or whatever, like live videos or whatever.
Right.
And it's like Get Up is live now. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
And
I thought it was. So I saw the video, the trailer. They call it a trailer, and then I thought it was a mistake. When it came like on, I was like, oh, they accidentally released some footage.
No, this is like it's like a 2-minute documentary.
It's bizarre.
You ready? I have it ready.
Let's play it. And I might have you stop as we go.
Today is the very first Get Up rehearsal.
Ooh.
So it's a rather informal one. It's the first time we're getting talent together and the staff
what do you need
together
to for a show like
replicate
that?
And try to. Or at least try to replicate to some degree what it would be like to do a show on a given day. So that's what we're all here and being paid to do today.
We're getting paid today?
Oh, they're getting paid?
Beautiful.
All right.
Great hit music. I like it.
How about we just say
okay, let's go.
Okay, let's go.
Seems okay.
Hold on one second. We'll be right back. Beatles going to dance.
Back to the music.
Pause for a second. I like Michelle Beadle. This is not going to be a Michelle Beadle bashing segment. But Jesus Christ, if I've ever heard a forced laugh. You know how when you're just joking around with your buddies and someone tells a joke and you go, ha, 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 like that?
Yeah.
You just force out a bellow for no reason at a mildly humorous Mike Greenberg comment? That's the type of thing you should be laughing at, like, you know, a Bill Burr show. Not when Mike Greenberg throws out one of his awful cliches or whatever he was saying before.
I laugh like that when he gives his Jets predictions for the year.
I used to laugh at that at the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks every week. I liked how they alternated who said what word. Stone Cold Lead Pipe. I'd say, that is hilarious. Are you impressed that I knew one Mike and Mike segment?
I don't even know that.
That
one was
pretty good.
I used to watch Mike and Mike before high school.
I did back in the day.
It was the only thing on.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and then my brain started to develop later in life, and I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. I can't do this anymore.
Was eating my Pop-Tart, you know, watching Mike and Mike.
Yeah. Brainless. That's what we did back when we didn't have fully formed minds.
When they were actually in their radio studio, not in the TV one, too.
That's the weird thing about all those ESPN shows is that they do them from like TV studio, so it doesn't feel. I think the thing I kind of like about like when it was Dennis and Callahan were on TV or Felger and Maz or any of those, I like the idea of like you're watching a radio show. Kind
yeah,
of. It gives it a different feel. I don't know why. Maybe I'm just a fucking nerd, but it gives it a different. There's a feel to it, like you're watching a real talk show. When they put it in the TV studio, it's like, oh, I'm watching the shittiest scripted show ever.
Yeah.
This is just two anchors going back and forth in horribly boring fashion. So, but Get Up is going to revolutionize that style. So let's see what else they've got after the fake Michelle Beadle laugh.
Oh, hang on.
Oh, Dan.
Yep. We got to open.
Beadle's going to dance.
See, I like this. This don't feel like work.
If nobody hurts each other, it's a success. And if we...
Did you hear that, Mike? If nobody hurts each other, it's
yes.
a success.
That's what we learned here a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
That's what I was taught. And, you know, that's when I walked into the studio and everyone sang to me and said hello. They said, hey, we're all sensitive here. So I like that ESPN has taken on that that moniker. That was always my concern with ESPN, is they weren't sensitive enough to everyone's feelings.
That's a huge thing. So, okay, we're ready to go.
I literally did. I literally did.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
This is really more the fact that they're like dancing.
We are going to
really
launch something entirely new, and that takes a little figuring out.
Pause. I think rewind that a few seconds if you can, because I want to get the full scope of what Mike Greenberg is portraying. We're trying something completely new here.
This sounds an awfully lot like when they launched the Six.
And it sounds exactly like, well, obviously, what they're, you know, you steal from your idols. You steal from the greats. And there's no question. Minahan here at EEI says, you know, I take from Howard Stern. You take from the great ones. You take from the ones you idolize. So obviously, they saw that gem of a show that replaced Mike Francesa, Carlin, Maggie, and Bart. And they said, hey, let's take that model of a grizzled broadcasting veteran, a woman, and a former athlete. And they've been off to such a sterling, insanely boring start that maybe we can replicate that. Maybe people will be falling asleep watching our program as well. So let's hear Mike Greenberg pitch this completely revolutionary and fresh idea.
We are going to launch something entirely new, and that takes a little figuring out, which I think April 2nd of 2018, I think we're going to be good. We will be better the second week than we were the first week, and we'll be better the second month than we were the first month, and I think we'll be better the second year than we were the first year.
That sounds like a guy who really is excited to get off to a hot start.
Every idea that we have, we're going to have on display.
Give us a year.
But I think we'll be better on April 3rd.
Ooh, April 2nd. I think I don't like rehearsing, so I just want to do television. To so for me,
Jesus.
It's just like
I love you, but enough of the fake laughter.
But like we broke some eggs to make this show happen, and
thank
I want to make sure that the omelet gets made.
Strong analogy.
All right.
You got to crack if you're Jalen.
We about to take over the industry. We about to kill the game. You ready? Get up now. Get on up.
I am. I'm ready. Are you ready?
I am.
Now, I'll start one. I have a problem with everything each of them said in there. First of all, Mike Greenberg, this is a tool to promote the show. You could say, well, Mike, you're just doing a podcast. What do you know about the industry? I don't know a ton. I'll grant you that.
Do tell.
But I know enough to know that if you're promoting your show, you shouldn't say, give us a year. Come back in a year. We're going to be a lot better in a year. We're just getting used to things now. Not going to be great day one. Day two, it'll be a little better. Year two, then we'll be cooking with gas. Give us a year of no ratings, and then come back in 2019. That's how you want to promote your program. And the idea that it's new and different and fun.
Solid.
No, it isn't. It just is not. Because it's sad that ESPN does this. It's like, well, let's just shift people around from spots that weren't working into new places. I like Michelle Beadle. I think she's capable of maybe doing a show that would be entertaining and funny. The problem is when you put her with Mike Greenberg, and I don't even mind Jalen Rose when he's doing basketball. I don't think of Jalen Rose as a guy I want to hear talk about every sport and social issues and all this. I just don't turn to Jalen Rose for that. So it seems like a group of just mismatched bores, kind of. Michelle Beadle being the most entertaining, I guess. But even her with that group will devolve into boring. And that's kind of what I said about Jim Murray a couple weeks ago, where my only criticism of Jim Murray would be is he devolves into that Felger and Maz show where it's strictly sports. And you don't really have a choice in that when those are the guys running the show. So Michelle Beadle isn't going to have a choice. She's just going to devolve into boring Mike and Mike type stuff that Mike Greenberg is doing. And it's sad to see that ESPN just cannot change. And that they're throwing, tell me if I have this number right, Dan, because I can't possibly. I'll jump out that, even though I know it won't kill me, I'll jump out this third floor window if I'm right about this. Mike Greenberg makes $6 million a year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Let's say I'm doubling. It's $3 million a year would be an insane amount to pay someone who Mutt could do that job easily. Ken Laird could, my boy Ken Laird could do that job. There are a million guys that could do Mike Greenberg's job. At least Beadle and Jalen Rose have somewhat of a personality. Mike Greenberg's reading a teleprompter and can read well. Like, he's a polished broadcaster. That's all he does. Can you remember, Mike and Mike was on for 20 years. Can you remember any scandal or crazy hot take coming out of that show?
I think they once tried to make Golic eat a bunch of donuts.
Oh, well, you know what? I take it back. I take it all back.
And Greeny commented on
every morning zoo in the history of radio hasn't done that. I take it back. Golic was innovative. But that still goes with my theory that Greenberg doesn't do anything. And then there's, I guess, ESPN News is changing to essentially just simulcasting ESPN Radio. So it's like Golic and Wingo and the Dan Le Batard show, which, by the way, I see all this news, Dan Le Batard going to SiriusXM. So I think, oh, he's leaving ESPN and he's going to Sirius. But then I see this promotion for the Dan Le Batard show going to ESPN News. I guess he's doing two radio shows now.
Oh, good.
Because if the world needed anything,
more crime,
it was more 0.1 ratings. I guess you don't get ratings on Sirius. So you'll get, that's where Dan Le Batard fits, where no one's listening and it doesn't matter.
The president of ESPN has resigned.
Dan, I know. I'm sure it was very tough for you. We went through this last week. I know it was tough on you. You're at Sirius now. It's fine. I know there's a lot of demons in the ESPN hallway. So, ESPN still doing weird stuff. Didn't they try this morning show? Get Up is just essentially, what was the show?
Cold Pizza.
Right. That's what, before it was First
and
Take.
Then, hijacked by Skip and Stephen A.
Yeah. Skip and Stephen A did like a 5-minute segment. And then finally they were like, all right, let's just make this the show. Because it was, if I remember Cold Pizza right, it was like Kit Hoover and Jake Crawford.
Jake Crawford, yeah.
Well, like more, like cool, you know, hip morning guys.
Right.
It was essentially Good Morning America. They did the weather. They tried to do shit outside.
It was supposed to be something to go against SportsCenter and kind of split
right,
up.
Right, an alternative.
Yeah.
That seems like what this Get Up is. And it seems like, you said it earlier, it seems like what the Six is.
Yeah.
Or was, rather.
Yeah.
But it seems like, hey, we're going to be alternative, but the second anyone talks about anything noteworthy outside of sports, we're going to suspend or fire them. Because God forbid, if Michelle Beadle ever actually does do anything interesting on that show, you know, criticizes someone tied to the network for sexual harassment or whatever, you're not going to hear from her anymore. Or if you do, you're going to hear a much more subdued version of her. Because that's what ESPN, unless ESPN is sticking to their guns with this whole ESPN versus the NFL thing. That's what I'm hoping for. Flame on, baby. Burn that bridge.
That's a good one.
So, speaking of the NFL, Rich Eisen, NFL Network?
Yeah. How do you feel about Rich?
You showed me this. I like Rich Eisen as
a good studio guy.
As a studio guy. I think he gets a little full of himself, a little high and mighty on Twitter. When he says things like, Jess Mendoza has revolutionized the way a baseball game is broadcast.
All right.
It's unless you mean horribly, then you're wrong, Rich. So he gets a little full of himself on Twitter and things. But as an in-studio guy, I don't mind him. Is he worth $5 million? I don't know. But he seems to think so.
It's reported that ESPN and Fox are offering Peyton Manning $10 million.
I get half.
To come do Thursday Night Football. Is he worth that?
Every penny, certainly if I get half.
Are you jealous of the $10 million?
Immensely.
What a bizarre, I don't understand that. What that sounds like is like when people say, like, oh, you do a podcast, like, hey, let me be your agent. And it's like, I don't think you know how that works. Like, I don't, it doesn't make any, I just upload it myself.
I don't know if that's how it works. Does the main studio guy get half of what the color commentator gets? Is that the pay scale?
It just seems like an old man joke that you're like, oh, ha, ha, that's a good one, Rich. What the hell did he mean there?
I don't know. Do you think that JB on CBS gets half of what Tony Romo makes?
Certainly not. I can assure you he doesn't.
does Menifee get half of what Aikman gets?
I highly doubt it.
So,
but yeah, well, bizarre.
Or how about that? Well, I think this. I bet Dan Patrick gets at least half of what Collinsworth gets, if not more.
You know what? Maybe
he might get
honestly
even more
maybe.
Than
he might honestly
get more
maybe
than what Collinsworth gets, but.
Collinsworth probably got screwed. I feel like he's that type of guy.
They just give him a rolly chair and he's all good.
Yeah, he's fascinated by it. The guy didn't know what duck boats were for 50 years of his life. So, speaking of that, that Peyton Manning thing, we've talked about it a couple times now. That's getting more annoying than the Gronk thing. Because with Gronk, at least people are interested. It's like, make a decision, Peyton. Where are you going? Thursday Night Football or Monday Night Football? It's not that difficult.
Which day of the week?
Which day of the week do you want to call games? get it over with. Jesus. I've never seen a more anticlimactic thing. Because it's going to be fine. Wow, Peyton Manning's going to ESPN. And no one's going to watch. Or the exact same amount of people are going to watch. Who gives a shit?
Yep.
Wrap it up, Peyton.
Yeah, just tell me when the Pats Monday Night Football game is. That's about it.
Exactly. That's when you watch, when your team is on. Other than that, who gives a shit? What do we have for time, Dan?
35.
Oh, Jesus. All right, I'll wrap this up. I've been a bumbling mushmouth this week. But if you like the show, subscribe on iTunes. We've got our own iTunes page, finally. And give us a 5-star rating and review and all that. And check out, if you don't want to go to the trouble of subscribing on iTunes, go to WEI.com or the WEI app, where you can get a bunch of other podcasts on the WEI network, including, I think, Trenny just did a podcast with Kirk.
Yeah.
So, and that's I'll probably listen to that on my way home. It looks good. I'm sure Kirk needs me to promote that for him. Kirk, as the best podcast on the network, I'll do you a solid. Promote that little mom-and-pop operation you got going there. So, subscribe, follow us on Twitter at blindmike_, at dwaddy93, and at WEI. All tweet out the show every week if you're looking for it. And that's about it. Goodbye.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!